Germany puts an end to nuclear energy. It has shut down its last remaining nuclear power plants. But what will this move mean as the nation deals with a serious energy crisis? And are the alternatives safer? This is Inside Story. Hello and welcome to the program. I'm Mohammed Jamjoum. It's the end of an era. After years of contentious debates, Germany has shut down its last three remaining nuclear power plants. Critics have long described the energy source as dangerous and unsustainable, but some have pushed back against the plan, citing Russia's invasion of Ukraine and the resulting energy crisis. Supporters insist it's the right move, and they hope other nations will follow.
The dangers posed by power plants are very real, not just here in Germany, but all around the world. That's why I think it's so particularly important that we manage to phase out nuclear power. If we manage to do that, then maybe other countries will think about what they could do better.
Many people oppose the closure. Critics say it will lead to new problems, including how and where to dispose of radioactive nuclear waste.
I think the decision is a huge disaster. It's a mistake that Germany is making because we have a unique position in Europe and in the world. Nuclear power plants are still being built and technological developments are getting better. New and safer reactors are being designed. Then there's also the issue of climate protection, which is extremely important. This policy should have been stopped.
All right, let's go ahead and bring in our guests. In Berlin, Mark Nelson, founder and managing director of Radiant Energy Group, a consultancy which advises governments and industry on nuclear energy. In Bonn, Germany, Hubertus Barth, managing director and head of research at the German Economic Institute. And in Paris, Dr. Paul Dorfman, founder and chair at Nuclear Consulting Group and a member of the Irish government's Radiation Protection Committee. A warm welcome to you all, and thanks so much for joining us today on Inside Story. Mark, let me start with you today. From your vantage point, is closing these plants in Germany a good decision?
It is a bad decision, and it's out of step with Germany's trading partners and allies, not just in Europe, but around the world. It's a small nation's worth of energy that's being turned off today, an energy that could power tens of millions of people in developing countries or 5 million Germans. It's the cheapest energy Germany's got, so it's a fairly catastrophic decision, especially considering this energy works round the clock all year, not just when the weather's right.
Yeah, Paul, let me ask you a version of the same question. I mean, from your vantage point, is closing these plants either short-sighted or irrational? What do you say?
The actual electricity generation, not just capacity, by planned renewables next year corresponds to the output of the three nuclear power plants closed. And by 2030, new renewables will correspond to a total of 30 nuclear power plants. The future is renewable.
Hubertus, this move to close the plants, it had been delayed for several months. There are a lot of fears right now about energy shortages, especially because of the war in Ukraine. Why not delay this decision again?
I think the situation is different to last winter when it has been decided to continue with nuclear power for another 3.5 months, because then everyone feared that we do not have enough capacity to guarantee that our demand is met in a situation where nuclear power in France was down, in a situation where due to the droughts last summer, water production of hydrogen, hydroelectric production from the Alp countries was limited, so we really needed that capacity. It would be reasonable to have another option for a certain period of time, as we don't know, and we have now rely on French nuclear power plants being back on grid. We don't know if that really works out, so probably it will, but we won't have that safety net anymore.
Hubertus, when you say that maybe it would be a good idea if there were other options for the time being, I mean, what other options could there be?
Well, the short-term alternative of what's happening now is that electricity that has been produced by nuclear power plants in the last weeks will be produced by coal-based power plants in the next couple of months. And the special situation in Germany is that When we decided whether to phase out of coal first or out of nuclear first, Germany has decided to phase out of nuclear first and keep coal running. And that led to the situation that we have much higher carbon emissions per megawatt hour produced than most other countries nearby, especially compared to France, which is very much relying on nuclear energy.
Paul, for those who say that at a time when there is such a serious energy crisis going on, that this really just isn't the right time, the critics say, to do this. I mean, what is this move going to mean for Germany? What are your thoughts on that?
I mean, German power exports to France jumped last year, largely because half of France's nuclear capacity was offline with safety faults. So it's, I think we need to look carefully into the issues here. Now, renewables accounted for 50% of Germany's electricity in 2022. Germany is on track for its emissions targets. Germany does things stepwise, plans things stepwise. Germany said it would stop nuclear. Germany said it would go renewables. And this is essentially what's happening. The same is true for the coal burn. The coal burn is diminishing stepwise. So, Alison Ordnung.
Mark, it looked like you were reacting and may have wanted to jump in, so I'll give you that chance.
Sure. Well, I thought it was interesting what the professor said when he mentioned that it is higher carbon to replace this electricity from coal, but he may not have mentioned the sheer cost. So Germany will be paying about four times as much for only the carbon permits alone per unit of electricity, plus another double or so cost for its own lignite coal burning. That's the brown stuff it scoops out of the ground to replace baseload power from nuclear. That's what it's replacing lost nuclear with. And then only slowly over time is it planning to add in the renewables to replace, if that works. The renewables expansion has been planned a certain way, but we do not know if Germans will tolerate the further construction of wind turbines in their villages. I know the Germans say they support it in abstract, but it's not clear that that will happen. So counting future weather and climate-based energy as for sure going to come and replace the nuclear electricity that is lost and being replaced by the coal electricity now, I don't know. And one other thing, for Germany to be hogging, by choice, hogging carbon permits, carbon emission trading permits, that means that poorer countries in Europe will not be able to feed their industries, will not be able to power their businesses, because Germany is buying the fossil fuels and the carbon permits with its wealth levels that are higher than surrounding nations.
Paul, it looked to me like you may have wanted to jump in and react to what Mark was saying. So go ahead, please.
Okay, I think we need to talk about this in the round. Now, the most recent IPCC, International Panel on Climate Change, AR6 report, has stated quite clearly that renewables are our best bet for carbon, for carbon and emission costs. Now, they state, okay, that renewables are 10 times better than nuclear for cutting emissions. The International Energy Agency, World Energy Outlook, says that renewables are the most important way to reduce CO2 emissions in the electricity sector. So despite all of the, as it were, nuclear PR, the fact is the renewable evolution is here, and it's nuclear is, I'm sorry, but it's largely marginal. Worldwide, about 95% of all new capacity worldwide this year, additions, will be renewables, with nuclear nowhere.
Hubertus, how much of a conundrum does all of this create for energy policymakers, both in Germany and in other parts of Europe?
Well, I think the German situation is pretty organized in that way, that we're discussing it for a very long time. And it's indeed a planned process we are in, and that's coming to an end right now. And we are more in a problematic situation when discussing about the phase out of coal and moving into renewable energy. But not only, I mean, the problem of renewable energies and wind and solar is not that there's not enough capacity, but the problem is that there are situations where there's not enough wind and not enough sun to to meet the electricity demands we have. So we need backup capacities, and these backup capacities are has to be gas fired. If there's it should be coal, and it can't be nuclear, because nuclear is not flexible enough, or the existing plans are not flexible enough for that. So the problem we face right now is more how do we organize, how do we make that new situation possible, that we need an energy system based on renewables and backup with gas, or maybe one day hydrogen. I think that's a main discussion we have to do, and it's not so much about no one is arguing that we shouldn't move towards renewable energies. The question is where should the rest of what should be the rest of the capacities, and Germany decided to do it the indeed more costly and more climate harming way.
Paul, you were nodding your head along with a lot of what Hubertus was saying there. Did you want to add to the point that he was making?
Yeah, I mean, recent Oxford University and University College London research, you know, states that renewables are comfortably the cheapest and most effective form of electricity production and CO2 mitigation. So renewables come in at maybe a quarter, maybe a fifth the cost of new nuclear. Nuclear is just far too expensive. It's and critically, in terms of our climate problems, it's just too late. It takes up to 20 years to put down one nuclear station. We simply do not have the time. We do not have the capacity for new nuclear. The only option, our only option, is indeed renewables. And if you want to look at sort of another example in terms of France, EDF are essentially bankrupt, $64 billion in debt, posting a $20 billion a loss this year. Last year, half of their nuclear plant was offline. So forcing Macron to essentially nationalize nuclear. So the problem with nuclear is this. The key is climate. It will be, there's no question, will be too late for climate. And in terms of facts, okay, there is no question but that renewables will do the heavy lifting for net zero. That's not rhetoric. That's not me that's saying that. It's just simply a fact.
Mark, you clearly wanted to jump in just then. Go ahead.
I agree with Dr. Dorfman that the French fleet was performing poorly, but that just underscores the German nuclear fleet that is closing today is the envy of the world. They're the three finest reactors in the world, producing the most electricity, ultra high reliability. If the French fleet were managed by Germans, there might not have been an energy crisis last year. But instead, it's a German fleet with outstanding record, outstanding potential. In fact, the German nuclear plants operate so well that it takes 10 times as much solar panels capacity to match what nuclear does per gigawatt. It's an astonishing number. And the fact that we have to cite countries that are stating they will become nuclear focused in the future, like France. France is moving towards nuclear, yet it's Germany whose nuclear plants are already built today, not in 20 years, like Dr. Dorfman said. Nuclear plants are ready today in Germany. They don't need upgrades. They don't need fixing. They're ready today to provide the cheapest, stablest energy for 12 million Germans. So to change the subject to a nuclear fleet that isn't working well is to miss the fact that it's the German nuclear fleet that's the outstanding backbone of energy for Europe during the winter.
Hubertus, it looked like you wanted to jump in too. I didn't mean to interrupt you earlier, but I also want to ask you, how do the costs compare and contrast when it comes to nuclear energy and renewable energy?
I think we have to differentiate between two time perspectives. If we are talking about the long-term perspective and talking about building new nuclear power plants, it's indeed questionable if that's an economic reliable or an economic profitable situation. At least the latest experience with nuclear power plants built in Europe tell a different story. They've been much more expensive than expected. But what we are talking right now in Germany is the existing plants, and they have been built years or decades ago. They are paid for, and that's why it's so so relatively cheap to produce electricity from them. So comparing those two, they're pretty similar, as they have very high investment cost, very high capital investment, and low or almost zero operating costs. And that's, I mean, that's a challenge for the construction of the energy market. The main difference is, or one of the main differences is, that nuclear is running 24/7, while at least sun and wind, other renewables are more stable, but sun and wind depend on the weather situation, and therefore backup capacities, which might be import, which might be flexibility of demand, which might be gas or biomass, but at least they need and have to be paid for.
Paul, you wrote a piece last year in which you said it's not just that nuclear is slow and expensive, it's just far too inflexible to go up and down with the swings of demand. Why is that the case?
Basically, largely, I mean, in France, they said it goes up and down with demand. It doesn't necessarily do that. It doesn't, what's known as load follow, it doesn't sort of do this well to back up variable renewables. There are answers to variable renewables in terms of storage, in terms of demand-side management, in terms of interconnection, in terms of distributed grids. In other words, we can do renewables plus. Now, the problem now, given the fact, and it is a fact, that renewables will do the heavy lifting for net zero, the last thing that you want to back that up with is nuclear, because nuclear goes and runs. It's uneconomic if it doesn't do that, basically. It's just simply uneconomic. So the very last thing that you want to back up the variability of renewables is nuclear.
Mark, I see you were reacting to what Paul was saying there. I'm going to let you make your point. But I also want to ask you about a broader question about how attitudes have changed from one generation to the next when it comes to perceptions of nuclear power and how that is impacting this debate.
Yes. So first, in response to the variability, nuclear plants have excellent ability to go up and down. I mean, for one, it would be a basic safety requirement. So nuclear plants can and do operate in load following mode. Now, there's no reason that the nuclear plant should do more load following just because some weather-based energy gets more subsidies. That's maybe good for the owners of the wind and solar plant, but it does not make economic good sense for the country as a whole. So Germany's about to discover that, of course, that they're going to back up their wind and solar with hard coal and lignite coal instead of the ultra-cheap nuclear they had. That seems to be an error, but make no mistake, it's not a physical limitation from nuclear to have to move up and down. It's not a problem. So I will say that attitudes are changing around the world towards nuclear. Although it's possible to find many outstanding advocates for nuclear who are from the older generations, it's almost impossible to find young people around the world, including in Germany, who are active against nuclear. And it's probably because they don't fear it, and they did not learn to fear it, which leaves them curious. So they investigate. Once young people and old people get curious about nuclear and investigate, they find that what they've heard is untrue, and they demand more nuclear power. That's why you see countries around Europe planning nuclear programs now, including multiple countries on the border with Germany, have plans to add nuclear today, from the Netherlands to France to Poland for the first time. That's because of young people being very interested in nuclear and older people who have to provide energy for their publics choosing nuclear.
Hubertus, what does the landscape look like right now when it comes to other European countries, demand for nuclear energy, other countries that are planning to expand nuclear energy or build new power plants?
Well, the situation in Europe is very different from country to country. Like Poland is mostly relying on coal, but knowing that for climate reasons that's not an option for the long term. France is the traditional nuclear power country in Europe. Scandinavian countries have added nuclear capacities and moving more in that direction, combining it with the natural renewable energies they have. So, and that's why it's so difficult to find a European perspective on that kind of energy. Even if we discuss, for example, hydrogen projects for the future, there's a big debate between France and Germany if hydrogen made based on electricity from nuclear power plants should be labeled as green and sustainable or not. From the German perspective, political perspective, it's not. From the France perspective, it's of course carbon free or more or relatively carbon free, and therefore green and sustainable.
Paul, you're in France. France has been very active in developing nuclear technology, and it derives most of its electricity from nuclear energy. It's announced plans to build more new reactors. Do you think that France is going to go ahead with that?
It could be. It could be. The problem is, of course, is that France is also facing up to 100 billion euros bill for mandatory safety upgrades for its current nuclear reactor fleet. And in terms of the EPR, the kind of reactor that it says it may build, these reactors have been overcost and overtime everywhere they've been built. So one has to question the relative wisdom of continuing with this. And it has to be said that, I mean, worldwide, I mean, it's worth repeating that 95% of all new electricity capacity worldwide this year, okay, put down, has been renewables, with nuclear nowhere. So there's a kind of a paradox here. There's a lot of flam for nuclear. There's a lot of discourse for nuclear, potentially because nuclear is a very strong lobby for all kinds of problematic ways. But the reality is the heavy lifting will be done by the renewable evolution, which is here and now, faster, quicker, cheaper, cleaner.
Paul, let me just follow up with you about one of the incidents that led to this decision that Germany took. Of course, the Fukushima nuclear disaster. You led the European Environment Agency response to the Fukushima nuclear disaster. How have policies in Europe been informed by those findings?
Merkel is a scientist, and the word has it that she just took a look at the so-called probabilities of the risk, and she said, well, look, that's it. The IAEA, the International Atomic Energy Authority, head of the IAEA, which is the nuclear regulator international, says that we are now living on borrowed time in terms of Zaporizhzhia. In a world that's becoming increasingly unstable, to have these hit targets is deeply problematic. Now, in terms of Fukushima, what we've seen is that even in an advanced state, the consequences of a real nuclear accident can be catastrophic. And I remember, after speaking in the same platform as Naoto Kan, who was the Prime Minister of Japan at the same time, we had supper afterwards, and being astonished when he turned to me and said, well, look, if the wind was in the wrong direction, we would have lost Tokyo.
Mark, I see you're reacting. I will let you jump in here. But I also want to ask one other thing. Germany's closure of these plants is also in contrast to the plans of the UK government, because they're pushing forward with plans for new nuclear projects right now as well, right?
Yes, all of the G7 except for Germany are committed to nuclear energy, especially Japan. The voters of Japan democratically chose, time after time, the most pro-nuclear candidate possible. That mandate has given the government in Japan the desire to repeatedly announce expansions of its ambitions in nuclear energy, not just restarting reactors that have been closed since the disaster at Fukushima Daiichi, but adding more. There's a reason why the countries where the great nuclear disasters have occurred have learned to not be afraid of nuclear. For example, in Ukraine, I understand that Dr. Dorfman was quoting the IAEA talking about borrowed time, but that's not actually correct. The reactors at Zaporizhzhia nuclear plant are all turned off. The heat level is low. It means that a Fukushima-type disaster is simply not in the cards, but the engineering message has not gotten out to people. Why is that? It's because, quite to the contrary of Dr. Dorfman's claim that the atomic lobby is powerful, the nuclear industry is almost completely incapable of talking plainly and clearly to the public. I am on this program in part because nuclear employees are not allowed to talk to the press almost anywhere in the world. And nuclear companies have avoided conversations with the public wrongly, as it turns out. The nuclear lobby in Germany was paid off by the government to stay silent, and they were not present today, and they scarcely speak to the media. That's quite to the opposite of the claims that some nuclear lobby is powerful. Rather, it's people getting involved, volunteering their time and speaking up, which is the reason why young people around the world are turning in the same directions as the G7, except for Germany, which is a commitment to nuclear.
Paul, I saw you raise your hand. I know you want to jump in. Just please be mindful. We just have about a minute and a half left. Go ahead.
It's difficult to know what to say. I mean, aside from essentially PR, it's difficult to understand why there's so much discussion about nuclear in terms of policy and press at the moment. The reality is that it's essentially quite marginal. It's quite dangerous. The issue of waste hasn't been resolved. And in an increasingly unstable world, to produce more targets seems deeply questionable, especially because we have alternatives. We have other ways of doing things. Nuclear is basically a 20th century technology. It's past its sell-by date. The future is renewable.
All right. Well, we have run out of time, so we're going to have to leave the conversation there. Thanks so much to all of our guests, Mark Nelson, Hubertus Bart, and Dr. Paul Dorfman. And thank you, too, for watching. You can see the program again anytime by visiting our website, aljazeera.com. And for further discussion, go to our Facebook page. That's facebook.com/AJInsideStory. You can also join the conversation on Twitter. Our handle is @AJInsideStory. From me, Mohammed Jamjoum, and the whole team here, bye for now.